But he purchased us. Amen. We are talking about relating to God. That is how we have a relationship with him, that he designed us for his purpose and for his glory. And last week we saw, and we're going to take quite a number of weeks to look at this, that the way that we relate to God and come to him and have a relationship with him is not on our terms, it's on his terms. If you remember Adam and Eve in the garden, when they realized that they had sinned, the Bible says that they fashioned for themselves fig leaves. And that was the first world religion, the fig tree religion. And every other man-made religion comes from that fallacy, and that is that God, we will decide how we're going to do this. And man adds to God's ways. God came down and he said, I will clothe you. I will kill an innocent animal and I'll clothe you with the skins that I gave you. And so God came down and he did that for the children of Israel. He gave them the covenant. And now the Bible says we have a new and a better covenant. And so the way we relate to God is on his terms. But what's very, very important is before we kind of look at the terms and what does God do and what do, we have to truly, truly understand who are we dealing with? Who are we dealing with? When, here at Miracle Life, when we are, and I think Pastor Williams said we've got 29 different couples that are coming to get married this year, just in this first intake. All right, if you're single and you can't find a godly person at Miracle Life, then I don't know what we can do for you. They're wonderful, godly people running all over the place. Just smile and brush your hair nice, and God can come through for you too. Okay. But one of the things that we do is on occasion, there'll be folks that either the man or the woman says, well, I'm getting married to somebody that's not at Miracle Life, so we don't know them. And so what we do is we ask their church to say, hey, please tell us about them. What kind of character do they have? Their godly lifestyle. And if they can't prove that, then we don't marry them. Okay? Because we want to make sure what they're like before we say, you may kiss the bride. Okay? And go live happily ever after. So we ask for references. Those of you that are in HR or you're in a company, you call references. What is Joe like? What has been your experience? Because sometimes people just look good on paper, but you really want to get to know them. If you're courting someone, you certainly need to court them for more than a month or two. Anybody can be sweet for a month or two, but you're making a promise for a lifetime. So you want to know the person that you're dealing with. And I've heard this say about lawyers is that, lawyers are employed because men don't keep their promises. We write things down on paper. Here's a contract I sign, you sign, and then we break it. And so now everybody lawyers up. And they get to drive nice fancy cars because people don't keep their word. Okay? So thank God for the covenant that we have through Jesus Christ. But it is a covenant with God. What is God like? Who is it that we are dealing with? And can he be known? And I find it interesting that many times, depending on how you grew up and where you grew up, kind of maybe what church you went to, there's kind of a religious idea that God is a mystery. He's an enigma, a riddle. And that, we'll make statements like, you never know what God may do. And just to kind of scare us, sometimes people change the name of God, G-O-D, to G-A-A-A-W-W-W-W-D-A-H. And it sounds much better with a British accent. God. God. And I remember kind of growing up, I grew up in a church. We didn't use the Bible in our church, unfortunately. And I would kind of always leave church thinking, God is like, whoa, wow, amazing. But I have no idea what he was like. So Where do we go to find out what he's like? Does he even care to be known? All right? Would he rather be kind of like the Wizard of Oz? You know, this mystery behind the curtain that there's just legend about. Well, turn with me to a couple Bible passages, because one of the things when Jesus came to the earth, he demonstrated God and he spoke about his Father, and it was in a lot of contrast to what people had thought and what was kind of the opinion of the time. John 10:14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own." So he's saying, my guys, they know me. John 14, verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." You know him and you have seen him. Look at another verse. John 17, verse 3. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So God wants to be known. He has gone to great lengths to be known. He sent his own son Jesus so we could see him. He has given us his word, where he has described himself and told us who he is. All right. So if God wants to be known, then where do we go to find out? All right. We can maybe go to the movies. You know, Bruce Almighty, God wears a white suit and looks like Morgan Freeman. You know, it's kind of a cute movie. Is that what he's like? Is he kind of cheeky and fun? Is he like God in the songs? You know, he's watching, but from a distance, he's watching. So do we find out what God is like from each other? Okay, where do we go to find out what God is like? Well, what if we went to him directly? What if we actually went to the one who wants to be known and has described himself and he can be known? All right. What has God revealed about himself? Where does he do it? How does he do it? Primarily, he does it through his word. All right. His word describes and tells us who he is. Now, what I found kind of just growing up in the church for a lot of years, for about 40 years, is that a lot of people form their ideas from God from a lot of other sources. I don't know if you've ever heard a butcher or a farmer tell you this, that if you knew what was in sausage, you probably would never eat sausage. There's a lot of stuff in there, okay? When we lived in South Africa, I learned, I think the hard way, that there's a difference legally, and when you go to the butcher, there's a difference between boerewors, which is farmer sausage, and vors, W-O-R-S. Boerewors means there's a certain content of meat. Vors means God only knows what's in there. They can put whatever they want in there. It's mostly cereal, and they put in a pink color to make it look like meat, but it is, honey, it is not meat. Okay, so if you're going to go to the shop, you get the boerewors, not the vors. All right? Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, their ideas and their what they think about God, believe about God, it's vors. It comes from a whole lot of weird, funny places. Well, Aunt Matilda, Uncle Johnny prayed for healing and it didn't come, so therefore God. Well, what about Uncle Johnny? Well, you know, this happened and that happened. And what I've heard it described as basically circumstance theology. So this happened, I kind of look around, and then I kind of gather it all together, put it in the meat grinder, and out comes vors. Out comes this strange sausage of theology. Turn with me to Job 42. The fact is that we have to be cognizant of the fact that it is possible to get God wrong. It is possible to have a misunderstanding. People certainly did in the Bible. Now, book of Job. Job was, what we see in the totality of his life is Job was very, very blessed by God. Job 1 tells us that Satan attacked him. And at the end of the account, God blessed him again. All right? And a lot of the book of Job is Job and three friends who are talking about things, and a lot of their perspective is not correct. Okay? So we have to be careful to kind of navigate through that book to see who's saying what. But at the end of this account, after Job and his three friends, they did a lot of talking. God comes down in chapter 39. He says, okay, guys, I'd like to say something. You've been talking about me. Do you mind if we talk? Okay? So now here is Job's response to after God talked in Job 42, verse 2. And God, again, Job speaking to God. I know that you can do anything and that no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And listen to what Job said. I was talking about things I knew nothing about. How many of you have been guilty of that? A false expert. Things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my eyes. Verse 6, this is from the New Living Translation. Job says this, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Now, I find it curious, this is not going to be about Job today, but Job said, I take back everything I said, and yet we quote Job about things that he said. That's not too clever. Okay? The fact is, it is possible down here on this earth to get the wrong information about God. It's very possible. Happened in the Bible, and it can happen today. All right? So God, what he has done through his word is he has chosen. Now, he decided, he didn't have to, but he chose to, by his own sovereign will, to define himself. All right? And he gave himself redemptive names. I am Jehovah, your victory. I am Jehovah, your healer. I am Jehovah, your provider. Okay? So he announced himself, he described himself through his names and by what he did. But he also took the time to say, there are things that I don't do. Okay, and I know we kind of make sayings that, you know, God can do anything, all things are possible, and that certainly is true, but within the context of what he has said, right? So, how many of you know God cannot lie? How many of you know God does not tempt us with evil, James says? So, there are things that God is, and there are things that God is not. There are things that he does, and there are things that he clearly says, I do not do. Now, why did he do that? Was it kind of just an academic exercise so that we could have books about God? And you know, kind of like an autobiography? And how many of you like to read biographies? They're quite interesting. But there are people that write autobiographies that give themselves quite a lot of liberty. That's why Proverbs says, let another man's mouth praise you, not your own. I kind of like the unauthorized biographies. Those are quite interesting. All right, so God didn't do this just kind of for posterity's sake and, wow, we'll always know what he's like. No, he defined himself so that we could relate to him, so that we could know I can have confidence about who he is and who he is not. I can have confidence about what he does and what he doesn't do. How many of you have ever had a relationship with a person, or maybe you're in a relationship with someone right now, that they change a lot? Mood swings. Ladies, I'm not picking on you, okay? Men, how many of you know there are men that have mood swings, okay? And I hope Zambia wins on Tuesday night. I hope. Okay. But if we don't, there are going to be some men who have some mood swings. Right? And some ladies as well. And now, let me just make a comment here. Thursday, I was talking to the Rhema students. They started their first week of orientation. And I said, you guys, I'm so sorry that I can't. We really can't guarantee a win against Nigeria because their churches are bigger than us. We've got churches. They've got mega churches. We've got prophets. They've got super prophets. We've got preachers on TV. They own TV stations. So there are a whole bunch of people praying. So anyway, I'm glad we came through in the 83rd minute. Amen. All right. If you're from Nigeria, we love you too. All right. May we both advance after Tuesday. Okay. So, and sorry about that penalty in the 83rd minute. Okay. So God has chosen to define himself. The way you could think about it is he has boundaries. There's a place where he starts and where he stops. Okay. Nations have boundaries. You and I, physically, we have boundaries. It's called our skin. All right. And so I'm not there. I'm here. Okay. So God has done that so that we can relate. Okay. We now then put our faith and our trust in who he really is, what he has said about himself, faith in that person. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, Paul says, for this reason I also suffer these things. He was talking about all the persecution, the heartache he was going through for the gospel's sake. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. You see, it's important that you know what you believe and the promises about what you believe, but you need to know in whom you have believed. How many of that's a person? Whom? Speaking about the God that we serve and that we love and that we trust. Okay? Now, faith comes by hearing. We have to ask, what have we heard? There are two verses, I think, that are wonderful summary statements that God has made about himself, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, because God, how many, aren't you glad God doesn't change? People change, God doesn't. I'm so glad we don't have to get an upgrade of Jehovah 3.2. You know, on your phone, smartphones and everything, you know, would you like an update? Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, hey, you know what, we've been thinking about in Heaven Labs and we really think we can make some improvements on the covenant. Aren't you glad he's the same? He's the same, all right? So two verses, these are very familiar for many of you. One is Jeremiah 29:11. The other is John 10:10. Jeremiah 29:11 and John 10:10. These are statements that God has made about himself, all right? He's defining himself. Jeremiah 29:11. Now, this is interesting. Jeremiah, when he wrote this to the people of God, this was at one of the low points of their history. They were being disobedient. And in fact, Jeremiah's ministry and what he said was completely rejected. They continued on in unbelief and in disobedience. And they were paying a very high price for that. Okay, so this was not in a great time of revival and restoration. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jesus said something very similarly when he was on the earth. And he contrasted himself with a thief. He says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come. So he's saying, I'm not that. I'm not like that. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. All right? In a word, we could say, if we're looking at these statements, is that God is good. God is good. About 50 years ago, a young Pentecostal holiness preacher named Oral Roberts almost started a religious war when he got up and began to say, God is a good God. God is a good God. got in a lot of trouble for persecution for that. I remember hearing him myself. And sometimes he would say, God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. If that's the only thing you leave with today, you'll be doing great. God loves you. He is a good God. And the devil is not. All right? They don't work together. They don't help each other's purposes. Okay? Let's go back to Jeremiah 29:11. I'll read it to you from a couple translations. NIV says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you. Okay? That doesn't just mean a gold watch and wheels that spin the opposite way when you go down the road. The biblical Hebrew word for prosperity is to finish. If you're having a journey, that means you made it. How many of you know God wants you to have a prosperous marriage? That you're 72 years old, your hair's fallen out, half of your teeth, and you can still kiss the first wife you ever had. That's marriage prosperity. Amen? He says, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. That word there, when God says my plans, it's the Hebrew word for to invent or to devise. That God is thinking. God has a blueprint. God has something that he wants to see happen in your life. Now, what is that? What does it look like? What are his blueprints like? They're plans that are good, not evil. New Living Translation says they are plans for good, not for disaster. Young's Translation says not of evil. New American Standard says plans for your welfare, not for calamity. Now, so God says not to harm you, not to hurt you, not to have calamity. But if we could take a poll today, in the time that you've been on planet Earth, how many of you have been hurt? Last week, yesterday. Okay, how many of you have faced calamity? How many of you had to face evil in the face? All right, so we have experienced this. We've been confronted with this. All right, but what God is saying very clearly, because the thing about it is, at that time when Jeremiah was writing this, they were experiencing calamity. They were experiencing the wrong end. All right, they experienced the consequences of their sin and their rebellion towards their God and their covenant partner. What God was saying was, guys, I didn't devise this. I didn't plan this for you. Amen? So while we maybe have experienced evil and disaster, what God is saying, I was not the architect. I had nothing to do with that in your life. Now, can God redeem evil? Can he turn bad for his good? Boy, he does that, doesn't he? And throughout the Bible, we see account after account after account of him doing that. And some of you, he's done it in your life. But what we have to realize is that while he can redeem evil and bad, he wasn't the one that created it. He wasn't the one who planned it for your life. There's a great Christian author and speaker from Arkansas, Charles Capps. And he talked about how he had a grandkid. The little boy was about 4 or 5 years old. And they lived in a tiny little town. And he had a radio where he could hear what was happening at the police station and at the fire station, the calls that would come in on radio. And so anytime there was a fire and his grandson was with him, he'd say, come, come. And they would, you know, follow at a great distance, but his grandson loved to see the red engine and the water and everything, and they would watch the firemen put out the fire. And so they would do this time and time again, and his grandson said, Granddad, I have figured out who is starting all these fires in our town. And he said, well, who is it? He goes, it's those guys in the red truck, because every time there's a fire, they're there. What is Jeremiah? What does God say through Jeremiah? Have we faced fire? Have we faced evil? Yes. I didn't plan it. I wasn't the one to bring it into your life. Now, if we turn to him, he can help us for sure. and he can redeem it. All right? But God didn't plan it. Now, John 10:10, I want to read this to you in the context. Jesus was talking about a good shepherd and sheep. John 10 and verse 7, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Again, the Zoe life of God. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." So this shepherd, Jesus, is not the one to harm, to hurt, to kill. God has never and will never hurt you. Now again, in this life, all of us and some people in this room have experienced hurt in ways that are unimaginable. Sometimes, you know, people come and see me from time to time and they need help and we'll counsel folks. But in the last 12 months, I've had some people that have come to see me and the evil that they described that happened to them, it is simply, I don't have any words to say how someone could hurt and harm. And some of these folks, they're older now. What happened to them was when they were kids, when they were little and defenseless. It's disgusting. It's horrible. And the scars and what has happened to them as a result of that evil. All right? So is there evil in the world? Yes. Have we experienced some of it? Yes. Unfortunately, some have even participated in hurting others. Is that God's nature? Is that a part of what he does? No, no, no. James says every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning with him. All right? What we have to understand is that, and we'll go into this more depth in coming weeks, is that there are other influences in and on this earth other than God. All right? One is people. You and I, people, make choices. And God leads us. God inspires us. God can empower us. But many people have no interest in allowing God to influence their life. And so there's a whole lot of stuff that happens on this earth where people hurt people. Think about the percentage of the news that's about that. People hurting people. And sometimes we say, well, the devil was attacking me. Well, the devil seemed to be in a body of a person. The devil doesn't really run around with a pitchfork in a red suit. People yield to hate. People yield to greed. People yield to covetousness all the time. And sometimes that, it hurts us, all right? We also must be aware that there is an enemy on the earth. The Bible speaks of someone called Satan, Lucifer, the devil. He's referred to in 2 Corinthians as small g, the god of this world. Or it's talking about the age that we live in, all right? Adam and Eve, in yielding to sin, invited sin into this earth. Now, you and I, thank God, we're redeemed. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We're not a part of that kingdom anymore. But the fact is, the devil is influencing those that will listen to him. And right now, in 2013, there are 7 billion people on planet Earth. The majority yield to the devil. Some unwillingly or unknowingly. But there are people in our city on Saturday night, Friday night, they woke up, they got off work, and they began to think, how can I sin tonight? They made a to-do list. They began to send out texts. They began to scheme. And they pre-plan their sin. And the problem with sin is, sin rarely affects only the person that sins. It has a spillover effect. It hurts other people, and sometimes quite deeply and very in a bad way. Paul the Apostle, in speaking to his son Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14, he made mention of a guy named Alexander who happened to be a coppersmith, not from the copper belt, but from his trade was coppersmith. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Who did me much harm? Alexander. And Paul had a theology of the devil. He had a theology of what he does and things. But even here, he doesn't blame the devil. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him. Verse 15, you must also beware of him. What does that mean? To be aware. When he comes, look out. Watch out for this guy. He is troublesome. Has anyone ever warned you about someone? Oh, but he's so sweet. No, listen to the warnings. Oh, but they have lots of money. Listen to the warnings. I was so appreciative of some people here in this church. And we were chatting a few weeks ago. And the conversation came, somebody came up in the conversation. Not anybody at Miracle Life, thank God. But they told me, they said, Pastor, be careful. They're this. We've known them for years, and this is what they do. So I said, well, thank you. So it just means mental note to self. Don't be dumb. Don't be ignorant. I've been warned. Right? So that's what, because people can do harm. All right? So what do? So we live in an earth that Satan is here. Satan is influencing people. What we do is, by the Spirit of God and the authority of God, is we navigate through this crazy world. We are led by the Holy Spirit. We are promised that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We have victory. We have authority. We have the wisdom of God, the ability of God. We've been given victory over sin. It doesn't have to overpower us and for us to be deceived by it. All right? So we trust God for wisdom and protection and light as we make our way through this very dangerous world that we live in. Amen? We have the body of Christ. We have believers that are with us and for us. David said this in Psalm 27, because again, we can face a lot of tough stuff down here, a lot of things that might disappoint us. David said this, Psalm 27:13, I am still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I'm so glad that when we read about heaven, that it is a blessed hope. And what is going to be there is beyond description. And I'm so glad I'm going to go there. I don't particularly want to go tomorrow, but I'd like to go there one day. And thank God for Jesus he redeems us and takes us there. But what David was saying is, I'm not just waiting for after death. I am confident that I will see the goodness of God while I'm alive. While I'm still down in this earth where, and think of all the crazy things that David went through and all the wickedness that was around him. But he's saying, you know, I am confident that I will see the goodness of God while I'm alive down here on this earth. Amen? So, when we think of the names in the Bible, and this is certainly not a comprehensive list, but God's names describe who He is. He's our provider, our healer, our counselor, our friend, our victory, our righteousness. Our Redeemer, our Father, the Prince of Peace, holy. Amen? Satan is referred to as the destroyer, the deceiver, the father of all lies, the enemy of our soul. Now, one of the things we must understand is God does not work with a coalition of enemies for His purposes. I know it would have been 4 years ago. There were a lot of people that were kind of shocked or surprised. The U.S. presidential election, when Barack Obama in the Democratic primary was running against Hillary Clinton, the former first lady. And they argued and they had debates and they had commercials against one another. And so when it was all said and done and he was elected president, he said, hey, why don't you come and be my Secretary of State? Probably number three or four position in the whole government. And I'm like, oh, she used to be your enemy. She was against you. She was having negative commercials and you, wow, oh, isn't that? Oh, that's so sweet. Jehovah doesn't do that. I've had little kids here at church come up to me and they get so, there was one little kid that was so distraught because obviously we teach our kids here, pray for your enemies, be good to those who despitefully use you. And they were so upset because they said, Pastor, we want to pray that the devil will be saved. We hear he's so bad, but I want to pray that God will help him. Well, I can't give you all the reasons why, but it ain't going to happen. His destiny is sealed. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. All right? And there's no turning back for him. So God doesn't work with the devil. Their plans are opposite. Not to hurt. Not to destroy. Not to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? God is for you and he is good. Let's just, you can write these verses down. But it might be a bit to turn to all of them. But especially in the Psalms, Psalm 106, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So not only is he is good towards mankind. He is good over all his works. God in Genesis declared every day, this is good. Why was the earth declared good? Because a good God made it. Psalm 34, verse 8, it's kind of a challenge. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. He's good now and he's going to be good to your kids and your grandkids. And when you're in heaven, he'll still be good to your family. Acts 10:38, Peter was preaching to a group of people and he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Why did he do good? Because he was good. Healing all who were oppressed, held in bondage by the devil. Notice they're not partners. They're not working together. He healed. He lifted. I love it. I love this from the Message Bible. Listen to this. It says, he went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do this because God was with him. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. For his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, hey guys, get this queued up in the sound booth. I just kind of want to introduce this, but I know sometimes you hear from me enough, but I came across a guest preacher that I think would be very perfect. This sermon, this a lady, she's a little bit young, but she's a great lady preacher. And I thought her articulation of what we're talking about today would just be right in line with what we're saying. But the other thing I want you to see as she is declaring what she's declaring is that I want you to notice how convinced she is of the truth that she's saying. All right? She didn't hear this just from somebody else. She believes it with all her heart. Now, again, unfortunately, I don't know her name. I can't really give her any credit. But boy, she's a good preacher. And I think we'll listen to hear what she has to say right now.
God is faithful and he's still good. My mama.
I guess she's about 4 years old and she's got better theology than most of us. God is faithful and he's still good. Tell your neighbor, he's still good. Now, what I want you to know, we'll watch this again, but what I want you to notice is she didn't do this like from behind a pulpit in a robe. She got her legs involved and her arms involved. Let's see this again. Amen. Some of you wonder, what's that end, that moosha? It just means she goes to a Pentecostal church. That's what that means. I want everybody to stand to their feet right now. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Because here's the thing. Life is tough sometimes. Life can be disappointing. People can be disappointing. Sometimes even us. You know, Romans chapter 7, I wanted to go this way, I went that way. All right? But the fact is, in a world of instability, in a world of people who don't always choose good, and sometimes we don't always choose good, the fact is, he's faithful, and he's still good. And I want us to rejoice. I want us to kind of get just like I found her on YouTube. Actually, somebody sent me that video a long time ago. I think I could watch it every day. And bless me. But we need to rejoice. We need to, and those psalms that we read were originally set to music. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And we want to give you that opportunity today to not just hear a sermon, but to experience, to articulate, God, you are what you say you are. And even though I might not know everything, even though I might not see everything, I believe and I declare and I sing. And if you need to stomp your foot, if you need to move your arm like our visiting preacher, you just do whatever you need to do. Do whatever you need to do. Now, here's what I want to encourage you. Don't act like church people. Let the spirit of AFCON come upon us. All right? And listen to this. Friday night, we're watching the game, and we wanted to go get, we had food in the kitchen, so we paused the game, went and got the food, came back, and so we weren't watching it live. And while it was paused, and I live a bit out of town, we heard a roar. I mean a roar. It was the 83rd minute. Hey? And here, you know what that roar was? It was for a tie. It wasn't even for a win yet. It was for a tie. And yet we have a God who made the earth. We have a God who made you. We have a God who sees your future. We have a God that can do anything. Amen? So let's just rejoice. Now, again, if you're a visitor at Miracle Life, we're not crazy every Sunday, but we're fixing to get crazy just about now. All right? To rejoice and to trust him. Amen? So just do what you need to do. The aisles are open. You just do whatever you need to do to get happy with God today. Amen? Go ahead, guys. Hallelujah. Oh, you're still faithful.
Let me hear you feel the God. Oh.
head, close your eyes, just keep playing that song. God works in different ways. But the Bible told us today to taste and see that the Lord is good. And maybe you're here today and you've never tasted. You don't know what He's like. You see, God loves you. God cares for you. He sent His own Son 2,000 years ago for you. But you must receive that gift. You must receive of His goodness. If you're here today and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're not born again, today is your day. It's time to taste and see. It's time to walk away from all those things that have been hurting and destroying your life. If you're a backslidden Christian, you turned your back on God, what brought the prodigal son back was he remembered his father. He remembered his father's house. And he knew that his father would be good. And folk, if you're far from God, if you turned your back on him and you're in your life, there's rebellion, there's stink, there's mess, come home to your father's house. Come home to his goodness. He will cleanse you. He will help you. He can fix what's wrong and what's broken. If you're here today and you say, I need Jesus in my life, I want to give him my heart, I want to come home, just raise up your hand and say, that's me. I want to taste and see. I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. God bless you there. Who else? Say, that's me. That's me. Yes, over here. God bless you, young man. Who else? I want to receive Jesus Christ. Yes, God bless you. Don't live another day apart from his goodness. Thank you. Yes, over here. Those of you with your hands lifted up, or you said, you know, I didn't lift my hand, but I should have. Just come and meet me up front right now. We're going to pray, and the goodness of God is going to come to your life today. His mercy, his forgiveness, his life, his love. Just come. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. I was going to give you this Bible as a gift. Oh, wonderful. More are coming. Come on up. God bless you. God bless you. If I was going to give you this Bible as a gift and I paid for it, you didn't pay for it, but I did, and I was going to give it to you, how would you get it? If I was going to give it to you, right? You would reach out. That's right. You would reach out and receive. Come on, brother. Now, if The gift that God has for you, His mercy, His forgiveness, He paid for that at Calvary. He paid an extremely high price. You don't have to pay that price, but we do receive it by faith. And I want to lead you in a prayer, and I want you just to mean these words from your heart to God. And in a sense, you're saying, God, I receive that which you have already provided for me. Would you just lift up your hand right now? Just close your eyes. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You care for me. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die in my place. I receive him now. You raised him from the dead. I believe that. I walk away from my sin. I walk away from the wrong. And I follow Jesus now. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I follow you. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, we are so thrilled.